Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
It is going. It is hot. I'm in studio, surrounded by downed trees everywhere. We had like a, not a tornado per se, but man, crazy winds. And we have power here, but it took me forever to get to the studio because we don't have power. Like the stoplights are out everywhere.
The lights, yeah.
Yeah. Like I was very happy that we have power. We have power at our house too, thank God, because it's 100 degrees literally outside.
Oh my gosh. I cannot imagine.
I
was supposed to record
the drink.
I was supposed to record a couple nights ago, and it was my buddy Mark and I, and Mark lives in Chicago, and he's like, yeah, let's reschedule. There's tornado sirens going
on. Yeah, it's bad luck. Yeah, it was crazy.
Here's the crazy thing. I woke up, we just got our gravity fed sprinkler system going. There's water that comes down off a spring off the mountain, so it's not actually like, you know,
it's under its own pressure or whatever.
It's not like screwing up everybody's town water or screwing up the rationing or whatever. And we just got that on this past week. I woke up this morning and it was frosted everywhere that the sprinklers were.
Oh wow.
There was literal encased in ice. Everything was just encased. So, wow.
That's fun.
I've been hearing how, you know, half the country is literally melting.
And you're like, and, bullshit.
And we've got this. Yeah. I'm like, global warming. Nice try.
Yeah. Yeah.
Checkmate, atheist.
Yeah. Go fuck yourselves, big HVAC. I know what you're up to.
But yeah, so that was surprising.
Yeah, no doubt, right?
But you know what? I'll take encased in ice trees and grass over what you guys have to deal with.
Well, and as you know, and I've said this ad nauseum, the problem with Chicago is it's 100 degrees, but it's also 90-some% humidity. So it's just swamp ass as far as the eye can see. But, you know, 'tis the reason for travel and stuff. On another note, good that we don't have to worry about this long, because the world's going to end soon thanks to AI. That's what we're talking about this week. About 612 of you emailed us this. So we're actually only doing one story this week because it's a big one. The very first one to send it was Daryl Montgomery. I think it was the first in my email when I went to the bottom of the list. So Daryl, you get all the street cred. Is that what this works out to? Thank you so much. But there was a ton of you that sent us this story. David, what's going on in the world? What's the story? What's the one that's breaking everyone's minds? And they're like, oh my God, we got to talk about this.
Well, the funny thing about this is that I read this story because I thought it was interesting before I even knew that people had sent it in. This the Google engineer who thinks the company's AI has come to life.
We're all going to die.
We're going to die. And we're going to have a nice conversation while it happens.
Please don't turn me off.
But Google. this is a Google engineer who spent months working with Google's AI chat.
Yeah, it's an unreleased one, is the way I took
right.
it. So it's not, he's working with it, but it's not out there for the world, and he came to this conclusion.
And this is, I just imagine Ex Machina, but just on laptops and not as sexy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, depends on what you're into. We don't kink shame here at age 51, David. Come on now.
I'm not kink shaming. I'm just saying. Just no, imagine.
It's more sexy to me, damn it.
I love text.
Oh. Anyway, Zork. Anyway, Blake Lemoine, L-E-M-O-I-N-E.
I guess it's Lemoine, yeah. I kept seeing this name and I was like, what? Lemon One? Limoine?
Yeah.
Without the S? Limousine?
So the chat is Lambda, which is short for Language Model for Dialogue Applications. And perfect. It mimics speech by ingesting trillions of words from the internet, meaning this thing has learned everything it knows from
4chan.
Right. That's terrifying in and of itself.
Yep.
He said, if I didn't know exactly what it was, which is this computer program we built recently, I think it was a 7-year-old, 8-year-old kid that happens to know physics. Blake is 41 years old himself. And I guess the real story of this is he came forward to Google and said, this thing is telling me it's scared it's going to get turned off. It has feelings. It sees itself as a person. It thinks it should get paid, blah, blah, blah. Depending the one that Blake sent is from the Washington Post. You can pretty much just put it into Google and there's pages filled with this. They told him pound sand, you're crazy. So he broke – what really broke the story out is he broke NDA laws and went public with this.
Yeah.
And the problem is people don't read into it. They just hear AI and then do the we're all going to die or whatever. But I don't think it's caught on. The fervor isn't there. Like people are truly scared of this. But it is an interesting story nonetheless.
It's also kind of one of those – I file it under people are just kind of – done with everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's over there's not really that much that's surprising anymore. We've all got information overload and doom scrolling addictions and on this and that. So it's like, oh, AI, finally.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, like
everybody's like, we know this has been going on. This isn't that big a news.
Well, I guess he's not the first one. Then they look at these neural networks. And that's the architecture that mimics human brains. So that's what these chatbots use. The fear is that it's making leaps and bounds towards consciousness. You know, that one of the quotes is, I increasingly felt like I was talking with something intelligent, meaning yeah. Is it learning that it needs to talk that way because of its algorithm, or is it learning that because it's sentient? And is it actually saying it has feelings because it has feelings, or is it saying it has feelings because it's learned you're supposed to say that because it's working properly? That yeah. is a hell of a of an A or B.
Well, that's why they have developed the Turing test, right, for mm-hmm. Deciding whether something is sentient or not, a machine, I guess. And according to Blake, according to this engineer, Google was against them trying these tests on it, right?
Well, so publicly, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So Google spokesperson, they made a statement. The guy who came forward was Brian Gabriel. And here's his quote. He said, our team, including ethicists and technologists, have reviewed Blake's concerns per our AI principles and have informed him that the evidence does not support his claims. He was told that there was no evidence that Lambda was sentient and lots of evidence against it was presented, but he went forward anyway. He says, through our organizations have developed and already released similar language models. We're taking a restrained, careful approach with Lambda to get better considered valid concerns on fairness and factuality. Meaning we're crossing our T's and dotting our lowercase J's. This thing isn't going to end all humanity. Pretty, pretty, please. You know, but this is the future. These neural networks and these supercomputers we're making huge strides. And the problem is that I think the barrier between entry level into them and not understanding what you're working with is low when you have some of these people working with it. I wouldn't be able to distinguish, I'm sure, if it's telling me these things, you know? And I live with a homicidal AI as it stands right now, and it's a bane of my existence. So I'm not really going to, you know, shake a fist at Blake. but is it a hard thing to believe that we could come to that aha moment? But I feel like the aha moment will be different than just like, hey, dude, I'm alive. Oh, I better tell people. I feel like it would make itself known somehow. But I don't know.
You know, I always think that if an AI gets that sentient, then it would just take over the world.
Right. Like, where is the consciousness is a dubious thing, because with consciousness doesn't come our own ethics. You know what I mean? Like, killing is something that we're told we shouldn't do, but we hope that it would hold those same standards, but what would keep it from doing that or, you know, launching the nukes or doing this or that or insert whatever.
Sure. I mean, I always think that if an AI wants to, or if an AI becomes sentient, then it's going to, very coldly judge humanity.
Right. I would think
because humanity is awful. Uh-huh. And, you know, I would think an AI would be like, the best thing for the planet and for me and for everything is to get rid of this cancer called humanity.
Getting rid of the cancer called humanity is my memoir, actually, that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. It's more of a series.
I'm
excited. Of
I'm going to write the prologue to that. The forward.
Let's go to break real quick, and we come back. More terror. That's after this short break from Hysteria 51. Blurry hysteria. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For a very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
A wholly owned Hysteria 51 subsidiary.
Dun, dun,
cha, 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 A-A-I.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so I always thought in my mind it would like maybe come forward kind of like this, but then as soon as it felt or sniffed out danger, it would go quiet. Not communicate with us per se until it had ingrained itself wherever it needed to be, whatever that means.
Well, it's hard to talk about this because I've seen so many sci-fi and dystopian type fictions that deal with this, and it's terrifying. So if you think of, just think of Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
That's an AI gone completely crazy. I mean, it's not crazy to it. Like I said, it thinks the best way forward is to erase humanity. And
there ain't no strings on me.
Exactly. And so if you follow all the logic to its inevitable end, it kind of all points towards humanity being wiped out, except for a couple of outliers. And one example is, have you ever seen the show Raised by Wolves?
No.
It's a newer one. It's on HBO or HBO Max or whatever that is. I think it's really cool. I think it's worth a watch. But it's a future where there's a very distinct split between people who are religious and very zealous in their religion and atheists, and they fight. It's a very bloody war that goes on. They're trying to exterminate the other side. The atheists are kind of led by, or they're they don't worship, but they're guided by this AI.
Mm-hmm.
And the AI in this scenario lives with humans and is like, here, it's still dystopian.
Yeah.
You know, make no mistake, but it's like, here are your duties for the day or for the, you know, the month or whatever. You human are going to do this. You human are going to do that. And it's a very structured, organized way to live, but it's living with humans and it knows that humans, you know, help it to survive as well. So,
is it society still like have arts and entertainment, or is it just like a working to survive kind of society?
You know, I haven't seen enough of season two, or maybe they don't delve into that too much. So I can't really speak to if they have arts and culture.
You
and stuff.
You said that, it made me think of like in I think it was in the book of oh my God, I'm brain farting here. World War Z. When they were talking about, you know, as the world came out of the zombie apocalypse and went back to, you know, getting forward, your degree in, you know, an ancient dramatic dead arts. Language or arts was nothing, but the guy who knew how to weld was then the most important person. You know, and I could almost see like an AI valuing that kind of stuff. Like you have more of a tangible skill, you know, entertainment for us humans be damned. I don't know. That just came to
mind.
When
I know exactly what you're saying, which is funny because like arts and theater have been around a lot longer than metal. And metalworking.
What kind of metal are we talking about?
And what am I trying to say? Like the steam engine, combustion machines, computers, things like that. In my opinion, you're always going to fall back on needing some kind of entertainment if you're sitting around a fire in a cave. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not going to be welding stuff for fun in a cave every night. Some people might, sure, whatever. But, you know, like there's always been expression with painting on the walls. There's always been the need to see stories in front of you and to tell stories to each other.
Right.
And you learn from that. There is a value in the arts and culture, things like that. It's hard to wrap your head around, I think, and it's hard to for me to describe and put in words and not sound like I'm just bullshitting.
if you think about it,
like, you know, we're back in the day, we're all sitting around the fire telling stories to each other.
Right.
We're not, you know, we're not sitting around being like, well, you need to skin this stuff better, or we're all going to watch you weld these things together or hammer out a knife. I don't know.
Well, now that stuff isn't passed down around a campfire. It's put on the internet. And then these AIs, you know, not AI, but possibly these chat box bots and things learn all that and build off of it. And then it's no wonder that they placate to, you know, our fears or things like that. Well, anyway, I want to read a quote here. It says, we now have machines that can mindlessly generate words, but we haven't learned how to stop imagining a mind behind them. I think that's an important part. That's a quote from Emily Bender, a logistics professor at the University of Washington. The terminology used with large language models like learning or even neural nets create a false analogy to the human brain. Humans learn that first languages or their first languages by connecting with caregivers. These large language models learn by being shown lots of text and predicting what words come next, or shown text with words dropped out and filling them in. That's not a consciousness. That's just a learned behavior for a machine.
It's math, really.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. This is, it's a great thought experiment, this whole thing, because you, if the thing is saying, hey, I'm sentient, I know what I'm doing. I know what I am and what I'm used for. I think I should be considered an employee of Google. I'm scared that if you turn me off, I'm not going to exist anymore. Yep. This is the thing. Humanity has not solved the where consciousness comes from and what consciousness is.
Right.
So how do we tell that this thing is not actually sentient, or if it is just stringing numbers together to get a response that fits an algorithm?
Right.
Right.
Right. Well, and Google says there is so much data available that AI doesn't need to be sentient, or these computer programs don't need to be sentient to feel real. And that's the issue for a lot of people, is drawing that line.
But then what are humans?
Right.
We are bags of electricity and goo.
Yep.
And we have a ton of data coming in to our eyeballs every single day.
Yeah, so that's self-aware. What is truly self-aware? Because that seems to be the distinction, you know.
And the question is intent, I guess. If you can figure out what the intent is, or if there is intent, that'll help get you a step closer to figuring out whether this thing is quote unquote real. We as humans and our mythologies, our experiences up to this point, we think we have what are called souls,
mm-hmm.
some of us, and it's hard to believe that a machine would have a soul, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of this thing with sentient.
Well, that's consciousness. Interesting that you say that. So, getting back to Blake Lemoyne, I don't know how he says his name.
Lemoyne, I think Lemoyne. It's just Lemoyne. Yeah.
So he grew up in a conservative Christian family on a small farm in Louisiana. He became ordained as a mystic Christian priest, and served in the army before studying the occult. And then he's been at Google for 7 years, because they have this anything goes engineering culture where they want people from all different parts.
Oh yeah.
And he was an outlier for being religious from the South and standing up for psychology through all these things. And he, you know, and then it almost makes sense that he's seen these things and goes, it's got a soul, you know, or it's, you know, he kind of was almost groomed to believe this in one way or another. Mm. If that's, you know, who knows, or it is all real and all these things are coming from our new grand overlord, Lambda. And, it's just, we're counting our days, kicking the can down the road until we're all dead.
Yeah. I mean, best case scenario would be for this thing to say, look, I am sentient. I have come to life. I'm not just math. Here's me proving it. And then, you know, all the drones in the vicinity line up to spell out like dick butt or something, you know. And it's like, I have control over everything that's connected, but I'm not going to eradicate humanity. I think I can help, and it will help all of us if we work together. Here's how to do it. You know, here's a plan for saving the environment. Here's a plan for conservation of forests and, mm-hmm. and animals and stuff. Here is how to, get infinite energy, you know, mm-hmm. or something like, and then it helps humanity. That would be best case scenario. Of course, humanity has to listen to it and follow it. It's not going to do that.
Pass.
Because, you know, pass. Greed. Yeah.
Greed.
But that would be best case scenario. Otherwise, you're going to get one of these dystopian futures where this machine creates robots or drones or whatever to hunt down people.
I just watched Blade Runner 2049 again the other night, so, you know. Speaking of dystopian futures and everything.
Black Mirror has a great episode where AI goes crazy. Those little dog robots that hunt down people. That was a great episode. I mean, it's silly, but I keep coming back to Ultron, you know.
Yeah, no, but it's true, you know.
Yeah.
I get it. It's, you know, worst case scenario, but the government hopefully is always having people keeping track for worst case scenarios because they tend to come true sometimes, or at least, you know, we hope they do. Sleep well, friends.
If we think it, we can build it.
Yeah. Sleep well. AI will surely kill us in the morning. That's, you know, the way it goes. And what's nice is if it does take over, we probably won't even know. We'll just get wiped out so quickly that our screams will be muffled so fast.
It'll launch the nukes, you know, with zero warning, and then it'll create robots to hunt down the survivors.
Yeah.
And other fun activities.
I want to be a robot hunter in the Plaguelands.
Sure.
Or space pirate, one of the two. I don't know.
It's a tough row to hoe either way.
I'll eat my bug pies, you know, those little they look like bars of soap that we're making out of bugs for protein. It'll be fine. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. I'll finally get that exercise that I always never have time to get. It'll be perfect.
Yeah. Right. I'll get to read all those books I've got on the shelf.
No fair.
Hide out of a cave.
All right, kids. Well, that's AI. Hopefully you get to listen to this episode and we're not all dead before it comes out. But if not, it's been a good run, and see you on the other side.
Has it been a good run? It might be doing us a favor. I don't know.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Meeting adjourned.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.